This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day to be together in the house of God to worship, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. I want to say a special word of welcome to you if you're visiting with us for the first time. My name is Carol Cavan-Dillon. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm relatively new myself, and I have found this congregation to be welcoming and hospitable and full of God's Spirit, so I hope you feel that this morning as we worship together. There is in your bulletin announcements that have lots of information about things going on in the life of the church. And as August approaches this week, so do a lot of the programs and ministries that kick back in as the fall approaches. And I want to highlight just a couple of those events that are coming up. On Wednesday, August 9th, we're going to have an open house down in the fellowship hall from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. On the one hand, it's an opportunity to build community and for Brandon and me and our families to get to know you a little bit better. It's also an opportunity to sample the new food service that's going to be providing meals on Wednesday nights, Barley to Rise. So we hope you'll come and try the food and meet some new folks on August 9th. And then on August 23rd is our big kickoff for Wednesday night meals and programming. And we'll have the meal starting at 5, and it will go until 6:30 to give you a chance to get here from work. And then we'll do a program about the children's choirs and let you know some of the opportunities for adults, children, and youth on Wednesday nights. So we hope you'll join us then. The youth will be kicking off their year of youth ministry beginning August 20th, and there'll be more details about that coming up. So lots to be looking forward to as a congregation together. But now it is the time for worship. We have gathered in this place to meet one another and to place ourselves in the presence of God. So I invite you to open your hearts and minds as we hear the parable of the mustard seed and hear God's invitation to faithful living and service. Let's worship together.
Thank you. of worship, knowing that God has called each one of us here. Come, knowing that Christ is here beside each and every one of us. Come to be set free to respond to the Spirit's work in the world. Come, let us worship God. Let us confess our sins in one voice to the one who searches us and knows us. God of mystery, God of life, we imagine that we are capable judges of power and wisdom and goodness. We trust our own standards. We separate and categorize. We mark the performance of others. We fail to trust your power hidden in all things. We fail to watch for you, working out your purposes. Gracious God, hidden and manifest, transform our withered imaginations until we yield the judgments we trust to a love we cannot control. Sisters and brothers, God loves us, forgives us, and frees us from our sins. Therefore, be at peace and love with boldness and generosity.
Thank you.
Please join me as we pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Seated. And as the grown-ups are being seated, I'd love to invite any children of any age to come forward. You can bring a parent or grandparent to come with you. That would be great. Good morning. Hi. Welcome. Glad to see you this morning. I want to show y'all something. Can you see that? That's pretty small, isn't it? I don't know if you can tell what it is. It's a seed. It's a mustard seed. My guess is that you can hardly see it, and our friends and family out there can't see it at all. It looks like a white card, but right there in the middle is a little mustard seed. And in the scripture we just heard, Jesus was talking about the mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this little bitty mustard seed that grows into this great big plant. And birds can come and nest in the plant, and it does all sorts of neat things. And so one of the things that makes me think about is that no matter how small we are, no matter how small we might think we are, God can always use us. And so you guys, as children, might sometimes think, well, I can't drive, I can't make my own decisions, and maybe there's not much I can do for God. But the parable Jesus tells us today reminds us that God can always use us to love other people. Do you want to pray with me? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you notice even the smallest mustard seed. The smallest thing on the earth you love and can transform into a wonderful thing. So we give you ourselves today and ask that you would work through us to love other people. Help us be kind and generous in everything we do so that people can see your love in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming down. You can go back and join your parents or grandparents or friends. For the past few weeks, we've been hearing some of Jesus' parables. And it's amazing to me how much truth and meaning Jesus can pack into a little short story. A very simple story of few words can take us a lifetime to unravel and unpack. It's especially true of the two parables we've heard this morning. We heard the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. Now this morning I'm going to focus on the mustard seed, because there's enough in that one parable for us to work with for years. But in this one little parable, which is only two verses long, it's only one sentence long if you're reading the NRSV translation, Jesus has so much to teach us about life with God. And there's so many different angles to approach a parable from, so many different doorways to enter into the story. We could look at how small the mustard seed is, like I was sharing with the children, and talk about how much God cares for and notices even the smallest of people, even the smallest among us, and uses them to bless the world. Or we could talk about how the church started so small, how the kingdom of God in those among those early Christians began as a few dozen people in Palestine and has now exploded into this global church. Or we could move to the end of the parable and talk about that image of the birds coming to nest in the branches. And we could think about how when we are living into the kingdom of God, we are offering to the vulnerable a place to come and be safe and be loved. So many different ways to enter into this parable. But for me this week, what drew my attention was one word in particular. As I read and prayed over this parable, there was one word that just jumped out at me. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a farmer took and planted, and it grew into the greatest of shrubs." Wait, what? This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. Shouldn't it be a mighty oak tree or a shrub? If there's any word in the English language that is underwhelming, I would say shrub would be in the running. What is Jesus getting at? Did he do this on purpose? What does it mean to compare the kingdom of God to a shrub? And the more I read about the mustard shrub in Jesus' day, it was probably the black mustard plant, which was a scrappy little plant that would run wild when you planted it. It was hard to keep it back. It would take over a field. It was one that you wouldn't notice. Reminds me a little bit of the honeysuckle hedge we have in our yard. It kind of runs wild and we don't do much with it, but we don't even look at it. It's so scrappy. We like looking at the tall walnut trees and the magnolias. And I know in Palestine in Jesus' day, there weren't a whole lot of tall trees. That's not the environment they have, but at least there were the cedars of Lebanon. Surely Jesus could have said, "The kingdom of God is like the cedars of Lebanon." But I think Jesus is trying to make a point. And as I pondered the idea of this shrub, it made me think about how God acts consistently throughout history with the underwhelming, with the unimpressive, with the unqualified, with the small. If we look at the whole story of Scripture, we see God again and again choosing the unlikely, to carry forth God's kingdom in the world. When God was ready to call out a special people to represent God for all the world, God started with Abraham and Sarah, a couple who'd never been able to have children, and when God called them, they were beyond childbearing years. And yet God promised them that they would be the ancestors of God's chosen people. And those people spent 400 years in slavery, and yet God chose them, these former slaves, to move into the promised land and represent God to the world. And the person God chose to lead them out of the promised land was a murderer with a speech impediment. When they inhabited the land and they were ruled by the judges, one of those people who rose up to rule them was Gideon. Do you remember the story of Gideon? He was calling forth the big army of the Israelites to go and fight their enemies. And God said, "Your army is too big. I want you to pare it down." Again and again, God told Gideon, "It needs to be smaller. It needs to be smaller. I don't want a mighty cedar. I want a shrub." And the prophets over and over again, or Jeremiah was so young, and Isaiah was worried about his past, and Hosea had a troubled marriage. And then when it comes time for God to become flesh and dwell among us, God didn't choose to be born into the world by Cleopatra or by the wife of the Roman emperor or even by the wife of the high priest, but by a poor peasant girl who wasn't even married yet. Are we sensing a theme here? What is God up to? A few times in those stories, God makes it clear what God is up to. With Gideon, for example, God says to Gideon, "If you go and defeat your enemies with a big army, you'll take the credit for it. You'll think it was your doing. So I want you to go in there with a shrub of an army so you know it was done by me," God says. "That it is through my power that you have defeated your enemies." And when Mary says to God, "Who am I? I've never known a man. How is this going to happen?" God says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And it will be through my power and my power alone that the kingdom is realized on the earth." Again and again and again, God chooses the unlikely, the unqualified, the unimpressive, so that it will be clear to the world that God is at work. I don't know about you, but this parable hit me pretty hard. Because I've been trying really hard to be impressive. I've been appointed as the senior pastor at West End United Methodist Church, a church with an incredible tradition and legacy in this community. And when I moved into my office on the third floor, I thought about all the amazing people who have been in that office before me. And for my first few weeks here, I was really bearing those expectations. Not that you place them on me, but that I put on myself. I've got to be impressive. And then I went to camp meeting. If you were here last week, you heard me talking about this family reunion that we have, where we go to church twice a day. It's a good old Methodist revival. And our preacher for the week, David Callis, preached a sermon on Wednesday night. And at the end of it, he made an altar call. And he said, "If you need to come forward and offer yourself again to God, I invite you to come." I mean, we've all given our lives to God, given our lives to Christ, but we don't just do that once. We do it every day. We need to do it again and again. And as he preached, I realized how distracted I had become by trying to be impressive and trying to do this ministry myself. And I felt God calling me to get on my knees and offer this ministry to God. I felt God saying to me, "Carol, this is so not about you." Sometimes I need that reminder. And so I got up out of my pew and I walked down that aisle. And I offered myself and I offered this ministry to God. And I want you to know that. Because I don't know where God will take us. We could grow into this messy, shrubby thing. God could grow us into a great cedar tree, but you know what? That is up to God. What we must do is remember again and again that it is God who is at the heart of our ministry together. When I think about all of those heroes of the faith, those prophets and Moses and Mary, they all argued with God. They all felt unqualified to do what God was calling them to do. But God kept at them, and finally, each and every one of them was able to say, "Here I am." And so when you hear this parable this morning, I hope you hear within it a calling on your life to offer yourself to God once again, to do with as God chooses. It may be that, like me, you're a little obsessed with being impressive, and that's been your focus. Or it may be you're in a place that God can't call me. I don't have the skills. I don't have the talents. I can't do this. Well, wherever you're coming from, let us be reminded today that the calling comes from God, and all God needs from us is not our impressiveness, is not all of our skills. God just wants us to be faithful and to say to God, "Here I am, just as I am." Our Wesleyan tradition has handed down to us the perfect prayer to say this to God. And in a few moments, I want us to pray that prayer together. It's in our hymnals on page 607. But before we do that, I want to invite you to take a few moments to pray and reflect in silence. To ask God what it is God is calling you to do and to be. And to offer yourself again for God's use, for God's kingdom. Letting go of the outcomes, but only giving yourself. Maybe some of you would be willing to spend this time in silence praying for us as a congregation. How is God calling us afresh to say, "Here we are. Show us the way, God, into your future." Let us spend a few moments offering ourselves, our little mustard seed of faith, to God, for God to do with as God chooses. Now let us stand as we are able and join together in this covenant prayer found in our hymnals. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. And now, as children of God who have refreshed our covenant with God, and been received by God as beloved children, let us offer signs of peace and reconciliation to one another.
Good morning and welcome to worship here at West End. We are so delighted that you have decided to join us this morning. A special word of welcome is extended to our guests. If you are a guest among us, we would love to meet you and get to know you. Please join us for a time of coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall. Following the service, that's to the doors to your right. Find somebody with a blue name tag. Those are our Andrew ministers. They'd be like to greet you and tell you about more ways you can be involved here at West End United Methodist. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. Please record your prayer requests. We will lift you in prayer this week. Note that if you'd like for it to be kept confidential, and also if you'd like to receive a call from a pastor, please put your contact information on the card and put it into the offering plates in a few moments. Also, if you'll take a moment to record your attendance with us, we'd love to know that you're here with us. There is a pew pad in the center aisle. You can sign that, pass it along. Look and see who you're worshiping with. Know some people's names around you. There's a rose on the altar this morning in celebration of the birth of Ethan Wallace Laird. He was born July the 9th in Verona, New Jersey. He is welcomed by his parents, David and Jenny Laird, his siblings Sophia and Grant Laird, and his grandparents, Cheryl and Alan Patton. We offer our deepest sympathy to three families this morning who are mourning the loss. We extend our sympathies to the family of Richard Thomas Hagee Jr., who died July the 1st. Among his survivors are his mother, West End member Dixie Hagee. John Allen Duke died July the 11th in Franklin, Tennessee. Services were held in McMinnville, Tennessee on July the 14th. Alexander G. Al Swinston died July the 21st. Among his survivors are his daughter and son-in-law, Nancy Swinston and Kirk Berger, his grandsons, Brandon and Drew Berger. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your creation and the ways it reminds us of your love. Help us to take care of it and to meditate on your beauty within and through it. We ask that you awaken us to the seeds that you are planting in our lives. We especially thank you for the small and insignificant seeds, the small ideas, the limited vision, the parts of ourselves that do not measure up. We know that whatever you have planted in us will be great, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. We ask that you would grow our roots deep into the earth to be fed, that those roots would find sustenance in our community, study, and service. Guide our growth so that we might spring up from the earth into mission and loving influence in this complicated world. May our branches stretch out into the world, bringing peace and mercy, participating with your presence that is already there and working. Help us to bear good fruit that nourishes hunger, gives energy to God's move in the world, and provides sweetness to life. May you plant us, grow us, and sprout us, all in the name of our faithful gardener, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Let the giving of God's tithes and offerings serve as a tangible way of bearing witness to the good news.
now may we go from this place to bear the fruit of the kingdom of God in our world. Having we grounded ourselves in the love of God, may we go to share it with all whom we meet. In Christ's name, amen.